Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
10 years after Obergefell, the dissenting voices of the so-called marriage opinion. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, as you know, Matt, June 26, 2025 was the 10th anniversary of the Obergefell versus Hodges ruling. That was the 2015 U.S. Supreme Court opinion that legalized so-called same-sex marriage nationwide, and our country has never been the same since.
Well, what that particular opinion did, besides violating the Constitution and inventing a so-called right to same-sex marriage, is it actually said, as a policy matter, gender is irrelevant. In a very gender-based, sex-based relationship between a man and a woman, a relationship that transcends time, culture and political parties, that everyone knows from young to old is a man and a woman, they essentially said gender doesn't matter. You can actually use the same term, have the same benefits, same protections, but it doesn't matter. You can have two people of the same sex. Well, that makes no sense.
You're a man and a woman.
What that does as a policy matter bleeds over to, well, if that in a sex-based, very obvious relationship, where there's male and female, if gender doesn't matter anymore, then gender doesn't matter with a boy who wants to go to a girl's private facilities or compete in a girl's sports. Doesn't really matter, right?
No, but bottom line, it's an assault on God's creation.
Well, it is.
Go back to Genesis, what he created for marriage, one man, one woman for life. That's an assault on God.
And that's essentially the issue here from a spiritual and moral standpoint. And the consequences of this Obergefell opinion, 5-4, go far beyond the so-called issue of quote-unquote marriage. But there were several dissents. There were four, actually, back then. It was 5-4. And the Chief Justice had a very strong dissent. But there are three justices that are still on the bench that were part of that 5-4 dissenting. Chief Justice John Roberts argued that, quote, five lawyers, that's his term, in that slim opinion, essentially rescinded natural marriage between one man and one woman and declared it wrong. The four justices explained in the dissent that the other five imposed same-sex marriage on all the states by misunderstanding liberty as a sword to demand government benefits, such as legal recognition of same-sex couples, rather than as a shield to protect actual rights. The dissenters also noted that the majority abandoned the court's role to judge the law in favor of creating it.
Yeah, but just the fact that Chief Roberts used that term, five lawyers, that is a scathing insult.
He always likes to have some collegiality and cooperation among the justices.
That is not his MO,
and that is not the kind of opinion that you would typically expect from the Chief Justice. But he was upset because they violated their role as justices. He says, in fact, in his dissent, the Constitution says nothing about marriage, and the framers thereby entrusted the states with the whole subject of the domestic relations of husband and wife. He said the fundamental right to marry does not include a right to make a state change its definition of marriage. He also said that the opinion was, quote, an act of will, not legal judgment, that was something in which they imposed that had nothing to do with the Constitution.
Well, and Justice Thomas also said our Constitution, like the Declaration of Independence before it, was predicated on a simple truth. One's liberty, not to mention one's dignity, was something to be shielded from, not provided by the state. The Constitution contains no dignity clause, and even if it did, the government would be incapable of bestowing dignity.
Yeah, he further explained that the majority disregards liberty and misapplies the due process by bestowing government recognition on something that was nothing and has nothing to do with liberty. Justice Scalia also, he dissented back then. Of course, he is no longer on the bench. He passed away. Justice Alito dissented. So you have three justices on the bench that are still there, a strong dissent from Justice Chief Justice John Roberts, Justices Thomas and Alito. So you got three of them that are still there, strong dissents. And especially, again, I just want to underscore Chief Justice Roberts' dissent. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So it'd be hard to walk away from that. And then you have two justices that were on the bench that were part of the five, and that's Kagan and Sotomayor. Three of the justices that were part of the five are no longer there. That'd be Kennedy, Breyer, and Ginsburg. They're no longer there. So we need four justices to take the Kim Davis case, and we need obviously five justices to win. And so in the Kim Davis case, this month we are preparing and we will soon file our petition with the United States Supreme Court in the case of Davis versus Ermold. We will be asking the High Court to take that case. It has very strong, compelling facts, and we will ask the High Court to do two things. Number one, to rule for Kim Davis that the First Amendment religious free exercise is an affirmative defense. And number two, to overturn the wrongly decided Obergefell opinion from 2015. So that will be filed this month, by the end of the month. The other side will have the opportunity to respond. We will file a reply. And when the justices come back after their summer break at the end of September, early October, this will be on their docket to review. Mm-hmm. And we will hear from them sometime early fall whether they will take this case. Now, pray for the case. It's not a done deal, of course. Most cases that are asked by the Supreme Court to review are not reviewed. They are denied. Only about 1% of the cases that are requested are actually taken by the High Court. Pray between now and the time the Supreme Court makes its decision that they will take this case, because the consequences of not taking it are huge. Number one, Kim Davis faces $360,000 and counting of judgment against her, and that's in her personal individual capacity, not mm-hmm. paid for by the state, not the government, not Rowan County, personally.
And of course, she was the former Rowan County, Kentucky clerk who refused to sign a same-sex, quote-unquote, marriage license to these two same-sex couples because it violated her religious belief. That seems like a no-brainer. You should have that accommodation easily, but that was not the case here, and they both couples ended up suing her. One ended up with zero damages, and the other, as you mentioned, $360,000 damage. They didn't incur any kind of damage, so this is really absurd that they were awarded that by the jury. But this is what she's looking at now.
Yeah, and so when you look at the accommodation, Obergefell came down on the last Friday of June 26, 2015. The next week was the week of the 4th of July. So Kim Davis goes to work on Monday, and she decides she's not going to issue any marriage licenses to opposite or same-sex couples until she gets the issue of her religious accommodation request resolved. And the accommodation request was very simple. Remove her name from the license. That's it. Remove Kim Davis's name as the clerk of Rowan County from the license. And the governor, the Democrat who was in office, said no, although he had accommodated his attorney general to not defend the marriage law passed by the people of Kentucky. Accommodated his conscience because it says he couldn't defend it, so he hired outside counsel. But he wouldn't accommodate Kim Davis, so Kim Davis got sued, and then the judge sent her to prison for 6 days. But within 5 months of Obergefell, the first week or two of December, when Governor Matt Bevins won the vote for governor, the Republican, he took office in early December, and he gave a religious accommodation by executive order to Kim Davis and all the others. So she already had now, mm-hmm. very early on, a religious accommodation from the new governor. And then the next year, she got accommodation from the legislature that unanimously passed law that said the clerks can remove their names from these marriage licenses.
And they were giving accommodation for hunting licenses.
Hunting and fishing. You could remove your name. Yeah, you didn't have to do it, but for not this. So it was very easy to accommodate her, in other words. And she got the accommodation, both by executive order and statute. But then they came after her because they wanted to punish her individually. And so that, I think, presents a very compelling reason why the high court should step in and provide justice, give her the right of religious accommodation as a defense, but also overrule Obergefell. It's on shaky ground. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when Obergefell will be overruled. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Kim.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.